I have a confession to make. I did not get my husband a Valentine's Day card. Since it's Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday. And I have a bigger confession to make. I actually don't think I've gotten my husband a Valentine's Day card maybe over 20 years. Nor has he done that for me. For some of you, you might think that was be grounds for divorce or something just horrendous. In our relationship, we don't really find those things to be our love language. We all have different ways to show love and express gratitude, and I don't mean to say that it is not a wonderful thing to do. But for us, especially in our marriage, our way of expressing our faithfulness to one another, as well as expressing our love in the world, has to do with things that run much deeper and are far more costly than a card. I know that I could count on my husband to get up at any hour of the evening to do whatever would be needed, no questions asked. And he knows that he could do the same with me. And maybe that is our way of saying, I love you. It's not planned, it's not commodified, but it is definitely something that runs deep and true. I think, as I reflect on that, which I was not planning on sharing at all today, that piece about something that is done that is deeper and more private and more costly is what Jesus is getting at in our gospel reading for this evening. We heard our worship leaders read part of Matthew chapter 6. It is the standard Ash Wednesday text, where Jesus gives us instructions about how we should practice our faith. And if we were to read later on, it includes a few more practices so that we hear his instructions about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, three key practices that we are to observe in our Lenten disciplines. We find repeatedly that Jesus says, this isn't about putting a big display out to the world. It's not posting on social media what you've given up and why, or showing all the good you're doing, but it is about doing this sincerely, deeply, and privately. And not that it has to be totally a secret, hidden sort of thing, but it's about the motivation. Because the motivation is not to show the world all the things you've accomplished, but it's to deepen the love that you have for your Father in heaven. It's to take time to be with God and to let God be God in our life. And even more so, when we do that, especially with the disciplines of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we find that God has a little more space to create a clean heart within us. Earlier today, when I was driving to my son to school, we were talking about the start of Lent. As a family, we have actually already made commitments. I'm not going to tell you what they are because Jesus said that I should, you know, keep that in private, but we have made commitments. And we were talking about the Ash Wednesday service, and we were talking about how we appreciated the rituals and the start and the intentionality of rededicating our lives to Jesus. And I said, you know, even though I really love Ash Wednesday and the ritual very deeply, I said, I really do not like preparing the ashes. They're just so messy. And he said without skipping a beat, well, it wouldn't be Lent without a little suffering. And, you know, he's right. Because the point is that it's not about suffering as the end goal in Lent. But when we recommit ourselves to be put forward to God, to have God create a clean heart in us, There are going to be some things we have to deal with that we don't want to deal with. There are going to be parts of ourself, parts of our world that we encounter that we want to let go of. We want God to intercede. We need God to transform. And it is not a happy walk in the park kind of experience. It's like getting ready for a marathon and every part burns kind of experience. And I think that's why, especially among our Christian traditions and theologians, when they talk about that work that God has with us, especially when we are in this journey of sanctification, they talk about it being like in the midst of a refiner's fire. And there is the intensity of that fire that is changing and transforming and shaping us. And it is not always comfortable, and it is costly, but it is something that helps us forge into something that is even more beautiful. And my hope is that as we recommit ourselves to observing a holy Lent, as we think about Jesus' words about intentionality on why we are practicing what we're practicing, that we may put ourselves before God, knowing how deeply God loves us and how God always has the best intentions for us, to say, I'm ready. I'm ready to let you change my life. I'm ready to let you take this stuff that's kind of a mess and turn it into something beautiful. And I know that might hurt, but it's worth it. And I trust you, God. I trust you. I hope that for each of us, we have that experience this Lenten season, and so that when we get to Easter and we experience the joy of resurrection, it is resurrected new life, not just resuscitated repeats of our greatest hits. It is something new and beautiful and lasting. So as we prepare for Lent, and even as we prepare to receive the ashes, I want to give us a chance to reflect on what it means to let God in, to refine, transform, and shape our lives. And hopefully God might speak a little word to you about where that might come this Lenten season. So I invite us now at this time to take a look at this little video on refinement. Let's watch.
Refinement. It's the process of transforming something by making it more pure, solid, and strong. Usually done using heat and pressure in order to remove impurities and make the material more pliable. The Bible teaches us that refinement is also a spiritual process of change that takes place over time through trials, repentance, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Biblical refinement is grounded in the truth that all humans are created in the image of God and are therefore capable of living a life that reflects God's nature. Through the fires of trials and tribulations, we have an opportunity to lean into the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can overcome sin and brokenness and become more like Christ, who is the perfect embodiment of God's character. Refinement will look different for each of us. However, seeking God's guidance and strength through prayer and trusting in His Word for wisdom and truth will help us in our transformation journey. Although refinement is not an easy or painless process, it is essential for all believers as we seek in every way to be more like Jesus.